Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. J2K Podcast. I'm Jeff.
I'm Justin.
I'm Christine.
Yes, you are.
And this is J2K.
Podcast all a day. So, we're back from lengthy vacations that Christine was not involved with.
I know. Rude.
Left you alone.
Because we're mean to Christine.
Well, I did just take 2 weeks, so, you know, it happens.
Oh.
And we're here in our new studio.
Oh, yeah, it's the Fireside Studio.
It is freezing outside, and they've got this beautiful fireplace roaring right now, and it's amazing. We're going to podcast the crackling. Can you hear that? Oh, it's so warm. And we're back.
Well, and maybe someday when Christine is more able to be okay with herself, we'll like just video the podcast.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Or we
can just because that's what all the cool kids. That's what all the cool.
When Christine finally realizes how beautiful she is, and that the world needs to see her.
It's not just me. It's everybody gets that from her.
The raspberry.
You say I'm pretty, but you're lame and you lie.
That's what all girls say, though.
Well, it's not too unlike your hair. Like, your hair, to me, always looks fine.
He's so funny.
Sometimes you wake up and you've got your hair's, like, all jacked up. Like, that's true. But any other time, like, she's like, she has to do her hair. It's like, it looks the same to me all the time.
I'm like, my hair isn't working today. He goes, it looks the same as it always does.
Yeah.
Which, I can't decide if it was a complete insult or he just loves me.
No, it's not an insult. It's true.
So then, like, it became this joke on the road trip. Because, you know, when you're on a road trip, you're moving fast. And, like, a lot of times you're getting ready or quick in the morning so you can get on the road. And there was one morning, I wore a hat the day before. And then my hair was just crazy. So then I, like, flipped it over and I made it huge. And I'm like, babe, do I look the same as I always do?
Well, in that instance, I was like, oh, yeah, your hair looks the same
and it
as
was
always.
Like,
but it didn't look the same.
It was pretty.
What did you do while we were gone?
I worked.
Well, hold on. Yeah. I'm going to stay with this hair thing.
Yeah.
I've got something. So the truth about this is that I'm not lying. Like, your hair looks fine to me all the time. And maybe it's because I'm a guy. I don't know. But it's the same as, like, she is constantly like, oh, I went and leaf blew the backyard. And then I went, when I got home, it looked like and didn't even have done it at all. And, like, I got home, I surprised her last night.
No,
and came home a day early because the river where I was at muddied up. And so you couldn't fish. It was just there's no visibility. Or visibility, whatever. And so I came and she goes, oh, did you see I leaf blew the front yard? And I'm like, no. Because I don't look at that. Like, I swear to God, I don't drive down the street and look at other people's yards unless they don't have a lawn. And then I'm like, those guys are smart.
Yeah, I have a coworker that wood chips his entire yard so he doesn't have to mow it.
Yeah, and I think it's because she needs something to complain about.
That's what he says it is. I just am obsessed with the leaves.
Yeah?
It's not a complaint thing. It's like...
No?
No, I don't think it is. I mean, I don't think it's anything deeper than just... Every fall, I love fall. It's like my favorite season. But I hate the oak trees and the leaves that they release.
They say just I've seen a lot of news articles that I would never click on that say...
you're not supposed to...
Yeah, just leave them there and let them compost your yard.
I know.
Mulch them with a lawnmower.
One year I did that. Like, it rained just a tremendous amount for us. And there was just never a period where it was dry enough to, like... Because what I do is I'll rake them onto the lawn and then I mow the lawn. And there was just never a period where it was dry enough. And then the leaves did not go anywhere. They were there for months. They still were there in like March. I was like, compost my ass. These things do not biodegrade. For those of you.
No. So what happened to the yard? It grew back.
Well, it got really like splotchy, like where the leaf piles were.
And then it grew back. Crazy.
Anyways, this is not a very exciting topic, but let's talk about
I don't know, it's just
talk about your guys' vacation.
We're discussing your neuroses.
I rent, but we can talk about my backyard if you want to.
Rent the can. Well, wait, let's go to what you asked her. Like, what'd you do while we were gone?
I worked. I did have a birthday, so.
I did too. We're birthday buddies.
Birthday buddies.
Yours is the 8th?
6th.
And mine's the 5th.
5th. Yeah, we're one day apart.
Yep.
But probably a couple years.
What'd you get me? The same thing I got you?
Yeah.
Aww.
Happy birthday.
I got a present before I left.
I know you did. In fact, they're still, happy flowers are still alive. They're amazing.
Wow.
Every year, I'll probably be gone on your birthday, babe.
I know, it's just so rude.
We'll have to get a camper and you come with.
They showered once in 11 days. I cannot
do I that. Showered once in 11 days.
Man, you must have stunk.
No. Well, I don't know.
Did you rinse off your pits? Did you do the...
Tits, pits, and ass? Is like
no, I did, disposable wipes, and I wiped the crevices.
Oh, okay.
Like...
I call it the triangle. The pits and situation.
Your bolsich?
Pits and bolsich.
That's a girl I used to
Russian.
Call it tits, bolsage. Tits and ass. That's all so funny.
Nice beard and nice bolsage.
Bolsage.
My name is Boyan Bolsage.
Bolsevich.
And you were telling me you caught while you were on your fishing trip. Who did you go with?
I went with my buddy Joe. And when I got there, it was Joe and Ryan and Jeff. Another Jeff. And I showed up. They got there Monday. They fished Tuesday because the opening for Steelhead was Tuesday. I got there Wednesday morning and went out with them. And then Jeff left, which opened up a spot in the camper for me, or else I was going to have to tent sleep.
Oof.
Cold.
It was not cold.
Really?
No. I thought it was cold.
It was on the mouth of the Deschutes.
Okay.
And, like, there were, like, every morning, it's so weird. You know how they say it's always darker before the dawn? Well, temperature is fine. And as soon as the sun is coming up, it gets colder and colder. And when the sun finally comes up, it's the coldest that it is in the morning.
I wonder if it creates a vacuum. The sun coming over the horizon creates a vacuum that kind of sucks the hot air out.
I have no idea, but like it is, the undertow it's of wave. Very strange. It's always
coldest before the dawn.
At the dawn.
Oh, okay.
Not before the dawn. But there were mornings, like I walk outside in a t-shirt and shorts, like at 4:30 in the morning to piss.
I have the trip that I went, sunrise story just like that. Similar to that. But it was coldest when you were, like right when that sun was coming up.
Yeah,
I wonder if it's like an undertow, like a wave, and just sucks the cold air. Just sucks it up towards you. Or it sucks all the warm air out. You know what I'm saying? Creates like a little pressure there.
That's too much meteorology for me.
Well, no, I just don't.
I'm Doppler Justin here with your weather forecast.
All right, back to you in the studio, Jim. I have no idea. I just don't know. I can't wrap my mind around it enough.
We decided we weren't going to talk about things that we didn't really know about.
Well, you were. Because it's...
I like to pretend like I know about it. I really don't know.
Don't make it up if you don't know.
What? That's my favorite part, is just making up stuff.
Well, no, I know. That's
that was
funny thing
like a theme on our road trip. Don't talk about it if you don't really know.
Oh, I see.
Christine's brother loved that.
I know. And I'd start and I'm like, man, it turns out I don't really know.
My eyes are so bad. I'm wearing like reading glasses and I can see perfectly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I like them, though.
So you caught some fish?
I did. I hooked 17 fish and landed 14 steelhead.
Jeez Louise. And those are huge fish too, right?
The fish of a lifetime I caught was, it was like 34 and a half inches, 35 inches. Weighed somewhere around, I don't know, 13, 14, 15 pounds, something, I don't know.
That's insane.
I didn't have a scale.
And it was delicious. We ate it.
And yeah, I cooked some tonight and it was super good.
Yeah.
Is that the biggest fish you've ever caught? The biggest steelhead?
Steelhead.
Yeah. I think it is the biggest steelhead I ever caught. And
damn, I get a lot bigger. Huh?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Steelhead fishing is, it's tough work.
Do they fight more than salmon?
They fight a lot. I don't know if more. Salmon tend to stay under the water more. And steelhead will come out of the water. Jump.
Or flop around. Yeah. Trying to fight them.
Yeah, coho will flop around on the surface. But yeah. Steelhead, like, I hooked a steelhead on a spinner one time that literally jumped 6 feet out of the water. Like, it was the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah, he didn't want to be eaten.
No, he ended up in the freezer.
He tried hard, though.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, I just love fishing. But, like, I am 52 years old, and my friend, I am sore from doing that. Because, literally, like, people don't realize, like, this isn't, like, a camping trip where you go and, like, you get up and you fish for a little bit. And then
just
you
put your line in the water.
And you come back to camp. And, like, we get up at 4:30. The boat leaves. Like, we drive a boat across the river to an island. Leaves at 5:30. It's time to fish. It was, you can fish an hour before and an hour after sunrise and sunset. Hour before sunrise.
That's the law.
That's the law. An hour after sunset. So not we have like glow in the dark, like corkies that are little balls that float. And I have a laser light that I flash the corkies with and they glow. And then you cast it in and you hope that the fish see it. And I've caught fish a couple different times on glow corkies, but I don't know that that really matters. But anyway, get up. Boat over, it's time to fish at 6:05 or whatever, and we fish all day until noonish. Then we go back and eat, and we go back to the island and fish till
Do
dark.
Do you eat fish?
No.
I know, I asked the same thing. I
was no, like, we had, like lunch is usually like, this year because of old and fat program, lunches are different. Apples and stuff, but I had like sandwich and chips and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we have dinners planned out. But, I mean, we fish all day. Like, from before sunrise till sunset with a lunch break. That's it.
And it's like standing and casting and moving.
Yeah, you were telling me that you have to, like you're, the river is constantly running. And you're not just standing there babysitting a pole. You're walking up and down, like, holding the pole like at a certain angle so you can jerk back if you feel a
I love jerking my pole
little nibble on your
well there's different ways to fish
somebody's nibbling on your pole
like there's drift fishing, which is casting a weight and a leader with the little weight like the floaty balls on it. There's spinner fishing where you cast a spinner, and there's casting plugs that dive down, and there's running plugs on a side planer.
For a few plugs.
And bobber and jig fishing, and so, I don't know.
So many sexual connotations.
I know. And just a bunch of guys out there running plugs.
Yep.
Jerking their lines.
Jerking their poles.
Jerking their poles.
That's funny.
Yeah, so, what about your vacation?
I went to the Big Island in Hawaii.
So awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So when we landed in Maui first and took a little, we ate at, I think, Sammy Hagar's restaurant called Sammy's. It was a treat. We each had a drink and, like foo-foo boozy drinks, and we shared some french fries, paid for it. Emily paid for it, thank you. And when we took a little, I think they call it like a pond hopper or something, we took over to the Big Island, get off, and we go to get our rental car, which is under her name and under her credit card. No credit card. We'd left it in Maui. We would have had to take an airplane to get it back.
Oh, no.
And we didn't have a credit card to buy a... She brought that credit card. That's what we were paying for everything on the trip with. So, you know, I had a credit card too, but I don't have a big limit or anything like that. And this was my birthday present, so she felt bad. She took me to Hawaii for my birthday.
That's a very generous gift.
Yeah. So, when we, when we got there, she had a bank card that had a little money on it, and she put the card on that. We had to call a credit card company and have one, like, next day aired. Oh, it was going to take a few days. So when we got to the hotel, we had no money to pay for the hotel. She was like, we might be sleeping on the beach. So they were like, oh, no. We explained the situation. They're like, no problem. Here's the room key.
Well, all right. They already have your credit card on a reservation.
Yeah, but that credit card got canceled because she lost it. So there was no way for them to pay for the room.
That was awfully nice.
It was awfully nice. And it is that laid back in Hawaii.
So where did she leave her? So she left her credit card?
We had no idea. I called that restaurant. I called everywhere and they couldn't find it. So we got that.
Freak out adventure time!
As soon as the trip started, we had a freak out, but.
Hey, well, how did you get through that? That speaks to how well your relationship might work. If you have like, good. Like, if you have a negative experience but got through it in a good way, that's good.
I was calling the restaurant. She was calling the credit card company. Yeah, we got it figured out.
Yeah.
It went really well. And then the Ironman competition was in town.
Like so Ironman Triathlon?
The Ironman Triathlon was right across from our hotel is where they swim.
You get to watch it.
2.2 mile swim, 112 mile bike ride, and a marathon.
Yeah.
26.2 mile run.
These people were disgustingly fit.
Oh,
like, yeah, because they do that all in a row.
Like, I can't even they do that are, once. They have such little body fat that it's gross to see their muscle. Like, their muscles are just too
weird looking.
Like, stringy rip. They are, like, just a bunch of weird, strong people walking around.
My buddy Jake's an Ironman triathlete.
I bet he looks great. He's the exception.
No.
Sorry, Jake.
He looks just like them.
No, there were...
It's like, eat a sandwich.
It was just bizarre to be like...
They eat a lot.
Walking around and just... everybody there was practicing for the event. I think the event was today, actually. Or
maybe
I think it's...
you can watch it on TV.
Tomorrow. It's tomorrow, actually.
I watched that before. Girlfriend.
Yeah, so we spent a few days in Kona. Went diving with manta rays.
Nice. Oh, cool. How about that?
It was awesome.
They nibble your giblets?
They did nibble my giblets.
Nice.
They shine these huge lights down into the water and photoplankton come up to the lights. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they flip up to eat the photoplankton.
Body roll.
So it's at night?
And we got to watch the sun go down. You were saying it's darkest before the dawn. But when the sun's going down, at the sunset, right before the sun disappears, there's a green flash of light.
Oh, you saw the green flash.
I did not see it. But everybody was like, look for the green flash. Yeah. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
It only happens under the right conditions.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Never seen it either.
Oh, and some idiot brought their like grade schooler to see these manta rays, which are the size
flipping out.
They're the size of a couch. And he sounded like, and they look like they're going to eat you. They've got huge mouths.
Yeah.
In the dark, no less.
Yeah. They're terrifying.
Oh, I mean.
And sweet. They're really sweet animals.
Also, just, you're in an ocean in the dark, and you know there's not just manta rays down there.
But you know what also attracts them besides the photoplankton?
What?
Children screaming. So not only is he screaming terrified, but that's attracting them. They had to take him back to the boat. He was like crying and screaming in his snorkel, so you can hear the like bubble. Whoa. It's like bubble screams.
Did you guys see any sharks or anything lying down there? Okay, cause that's what I'd be afraid of. Just like sharks in the dark. Also attracted to plankton and screaming children.
Man, there's something about that sharks in the dark thing.
Sharks in the dark. That's a good band name. Writing it down.
Yeah.
So, the second half of our trip was in Pahoa, which is right next to where the lava flows. Took out a bunch of houses last year. A
lot of stuff in Pahoa.
Pahoa. Not Pahola.
Pahoa.
Pahoa. Lots of hoes in Pahoa.
Easily.
So we got to see where the 800 plus homes were wiped out. Apparently, on, I think it's, what's the volcano's name? Kilauea? I think it's Kilauea.
Sounds right, yeah.
There's a huge, there was a huge lake of lava. It was so popular, they'd have tours. They had a restaurant at the top of it that would look down into it. And one day out of nowhere, it fucking emptied. Like, just thousands of feet down, this whole thing just emptied in a day.
Oh, geez.
And they were terrified, and there were earthquakes. They followed the earthquakes to that neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And that lava went until it hit an obstruction and just shot out of the ground.
Oh, my God.
And it came out sludgy at first, but if you watch videos of that, it traveled at 30 to 60 miles an hour. That's like, the nuts. River of lava.
Was that recently?
It was last year.
Yeah, because I remember seeing YouTube videos of people just watching the lava.
Yeah.
Or pulling their car up and then getting out of their car because the lava was about to hit their car. I'm like, why are you not driving off? I don't get that.
We walked on lava. It was lava as far as you could see.
Yeah.
We walked on old lava fields.
Yeah.
There was a guy still living in his house right by Fisher 8 where it all came out. With a sign that said, chocolate for sale. And so I'm like, shit, let's check it out, man. So we, like, the gate, this huge gate, 10-foot gate is closed. So I, like, reached in and opened it, which was creepy.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, walking in. It's a ghost town, literally a ghost town where all these houses burned up just a year ago. And I'm like, aloha, hello. You don't want to be in here. Like this old,
it was a old
it was a prospector. It was a guy. You don't want to be in here. And I'm like, well, the sign said you had chocolate for sale. Yeah, but you don't want what I got. And I was like, you mean we don't want your chocolate? No, I'm sick. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, we'll leave. No, come on in. I'll get you some chocolate. It was so bizarre.
Did you eat the chocolate?
Hell yeah, I ate that chocolate.
Yeah, buddy.
You're
so
still alive.
This freaking guy.
Did you get a selfie with him?
He came out with his shirt off, scratching his belly and stuff. And he's skinny. He's like living out
like Iron Man skinny.
There's no running water. There's no electricity. He's living off like rainwater,
wow.
The rainwater collection and solar. So, no, I didn't take a picture, damn it.
You should have got a selfie with him.
So he pulls out this bag from the freezer of pretty professionally wrapped chocolate that he had made, he and his wife, and he's putting on rubber gloves, like surgical gloves. And
so you don't get what he's got?
I don't know, because he's holding the outside of them with his bare hands, like crumpling them up, trying to put them on, just smearing whatever he's got all over these fucking rubber gloves. And I'm like, are you putting those on for you or us? Like, it was disgusting.
Well, they were pre-wrapped in plastic, so.
They were.
Although, hopefully he didn't put the gloves on when he wrapped them the same way.
But it was sea-salted dark chocolate.
Oh, my favorite.
It was so good.
Oh.
It kind of tasted like a nursing home a little bit, but it was delicious.
Nursing home.
No,
you don't want
good.
What I got. You don't want what I got in. You don't want what I got.
Oh my god.
So did you go in by yourself or was she with you?
We stayed at her friends, Jason and David. We stayed at their house.
No, which, like to get the chocolate.
Yeah, we went with David.
David went in
with
okay.
us. So.
Okay. Because I would have been like,
but I was kind of worried that we were all going to die going in there a little bit.
It was like wrong turn.
They live just a few neighborhoods away from where that happened. And people will build $200,000-$400,000 houses on pitch black lava, fresh lava.
Yeah. It's a risk.
It's insane.
Like, you don't know.
Went to a nude beach.
Ooh.
Did you get nude?
I did. Only a few people were nude.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? Everyone on the beach, on this nude beach, I think of fat, gross old people on nude beaches. Every person on this beach was sexy.
Oh.
It's pretty crazy. And it was a private, like, neighborhood beach. This is not a tour. Like,
were you
it was
sober when you said that? Or saw that.
Oh, yeah, completely sober.
You know, you drink a lot of Mai Tais when you're Hawaii, so.
I did drink a few Mai Tais.
Are you sober right now while you're saying
this?
No,
I about saw that.
And then,
like, when he made that assessment, I had been drinking.
And then this city of Pahoa, every Wednesday, they have Uncle Robert's... I can't remember what it's called.
It sounds like that camp you guys went to.
Outdoor like festival they have every Wednesday at Uncle Robert's, and they have a live band and
Uncle Robert's camp.
Everybody freaking just like dancing, and it was amazing. So that was my trip.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was nice.
That was a very good birthday present. When are you taking me to Hawaii for my birthday instead of leaving me when you go fishing with your buddies?
As soon as you let him put it on a credit card.
As soon as I pay off all my debt and build my credit back up enough to even afford a trip to Hawaii, which will be a while.
When you said she lost her credit card, it reminds me of, like, there's been times when him and I have, like, gone out and he's like, oh, I left my wallet at home. And I'm like, oh, how convenient.
It's not like that. I say, like, oh, shit. Like,
oh, shit.
I left my wallet. Not like, oh, I left my wallet. Whoops.
Oopsie daisy.
Moneybags gets to pay for it now.
I'm glad you had fun. That's pretty cool.
That was a good time.
Uh-huh. What airline did you guys take?
Hawaiian.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice.
Oh, yeah, they have a really
Seems fitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they have other airlines. Like, I think we've flown to Alaska when we've gone up there.
Yeah.
But I think it was the airline.
Nice. I flew Alaska one time, but I ended up in Vegas. Weird. So, remember when we had Matt on the show?
Yeah.
And we talked about the emails that me and Matt would send each other? Well, I have a sample of those emails.
Oh, God.
Exactly. Say it like the Jewish pharmacist.
Oh, God. That wasn't a good one, but...
That's my favorite. So, I'm just going to go ahead.
There's so many.
Yeah.
Although they were like, the font is like 200.
Okay.
Oh, God, look at all those pages.
This is from me to Matt, September 5th, 2012.
Oh, this is a while ago. This is probably
when I was security.
This is probably when, this is a while ago. How many years ago was that?
Well, it's 2019 now, yeah.
7 years. I did that with Matt.
So, this is from me to Matt. I make the it. I am compensated beyond time. You make really big stuff. They are nowhere near the empty place. It will complete it before then. You can see a lot. They will never sometimes.
You guys have to see these. I can only see Jeff's across from me, so I'm... looking through the back of these pages, like through the light, the font is so big, there's only probably 10 words per page.
And the best part is he still has his reading glasses.
Everything that he just read, those 4 or 5 sentences, that was about four or five pages.
I would just like to point out how rude Christine is, and she laughs and says, and you know what's really even more funny? Is he's wearing his reading glasses still.
Look how bad his vision is.
Oh my God. Okay, well this
nerd.
This is from Matt.
Nerd alert.
To me, the same night, like an hour later. As I travel down the back roads of the realm of disbelief, I love so much, I think about the third eye that conquers the depth of my perception, like the conquistadors of yore. For that, I am certain my placenta reeks of cheese and happiness through the blowhole of life.
Superbly random.
Yeah. And then, from me to Matt, the same night, only moments later, I understand that the grub oozed a certain smell of the color red, blue, and gold. I caught the whiff of freedom long before I remembered to stop, drop, and roll. It is an accepted practice to reduce the episiotomy of my mind at the third eye bead shop. And then, from Matt to me, moments after that, and the last thing I'll read, you're welcome. The chicken of depression has long left my life now. The grub of sticky multicoloredness creeps up my doorstep to feel the outrage of my third eye beadiness and make purchases my posterior, which is anterior to my initialization, can't buy.
You sound like one of those people that like sit in the coffee shops and just...
Oh, like, beatnik poets?
Yeah. That's what that reminds me of.
If your hat was black, we could do that.
Yeah.
And then need some bongos.
That last part, the my posture.
Everybody snapping.
Oh, yeah. Snap.
Everybody snapping instead of clapping.
With and bongos.
What made it better is the crackling of the fire in the background.
Yeah, it's like a fireside chat.
It is.
Oh, dear Lord.
I'm glad to see you guys were hard at work.
Yeah, that was within an hour. Like, that was 1 hour of a night.
That's crazy.
And I was, like, dispatching.
Yeah.
At the same time. You see, Christine is the director of a company.
Well, you're not going to talk about my job, though.
I know.
Okay.
And she likes to point out, like, because she's a director, that we were wasting time. And, like, she would not want to have to pay for us to do that while we were working.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Like, if that...
She'd really be disturbed.
If my employees were doing that, I'd be upset.
That's like, I told you, I saw my friend from Work's Post, and he was, like, training the new guy, and the new guy's like, I told this on the last podcast. Yeah.
What do we do now?
Yo, hey, what do we do now? Now is when I find a fucking hiding place. Just do nothing until the boss finds out.
That's so
yeah, funny. She'd really hate your job.
Oh, that wasn't me. That wasn't one of my coworkers.
No, I know.
Like, in my department, but...
Yeah, not everybody's a director, babe.
I know. I have it in me. It's in my blood. I've been, like, a supervisor or a director, basically, of every job I've ever had. Except for, like, my little dinky jobs. Like, even at Burger King, I was, like, lead drive-thru within, like, a couple weeks I worked there. And then I was, like, a shift leader.
Born to lead.
Oh, no.
I like it.
I don't know if it's born to lead or don't want to follow other people's orders. It could go either way.
I'm pulling that sword out of the stone of management. I was born for this.
I am the chosen one.
Because I've definitely an acquired...
This drive-thru order is running
skill.
On 3 minutes.
What are you doing back there? Don't send another email.
Drop some fries. I said drop them, damn it.
My dad, I remember when I was a kid, though, and I used to work in Burger King. My dad and my brother used to always come and, like, try to get free stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't give them anything free that I had to order through the kitchen. But, man, they got, like, free fries, free soda, free those little pies.
Okay, so this is one of my favorite fast food stories. There is a McDonald's in the town I grew up in, and the manager, I think her name was Jean. We called her Mean Jean or something. But my sister used to work there. She worked the drive-through with another guy, and I think she was at the register, and this guy was in drive-through, her buddy. I'm gonna say Dale. We'll just make up the name Dale for now.
Okay.
And this woman would go through the drive-through and order the same thing every time. A cheeseburger with no mustard. But when she'd get to the window, she'd say, I ordered it with no onions and you gave me no mustard. So she'd get the damn burgers for free. One day Dale had enough and he was like, you know what? We can charge you or we can make you a new order, but you're not getting these for free. And the lady flipped. And, it was Large Marge, came up behind him and was like, the customer is always right, Dale. always right. So he quietly took off his apron and he walked around. He didn't say anything to her. He just walked around to the front of the cash register and he said, "Kendra, my sister, let me buy a cheeseburger." And Marge was standing behind my sister as she entered the order in. He paid for it. Awkward silence as they stare at each other. And he finally gets the burger and takes a bite out of it. And with the food in his mouth, he said, "So, am I a customer now?" And she goes, "Yeah." He threw the burger and he's like, "Well, you're a fucking bitch. The customer's always right." And he left. Oh, that's the best quitting story.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Oh, man. It's got to be put in a movie.
That's like nerves of steel.
Wow.
I feel like that was long, and I feel like that was long and awkward enough that it could have been a Norm MacDonald joke with no punchline.
And I was waiting for it.
I'm just wondering about the lady at the drive-thru.
Like, how long did she get away with free burgers?
Did she just take off?
She just got mad, and they remade her stuff.
Did she keep coming back? Did your sister say if she kept coming back?
I have no idea. That's the story ended with...
I need to know, Kendra.
Him calling her an F&B...
Kendra?
We can call Kendra right now and she can tell you. She'd probably tell the story better than I did.
Isn't it too late though?
Way
where
too
she's
late.
At?
I have no idea. Yeah. She's probably still up.
You'll have to tell us though. I want to know why.
Yeah,
happened.
I wonder about that.
I thought you were going to tell us.
I just immediately thought that about the lady. I thought all these different things were going to happen.
So like, we'll, on the next
he
podcast.
He was
going to
get the free burger and say, "I didn't order it like this."
Oh, no, no.
I ordered a hamburger, not a cheeseburger.
He ordered it and sat there and waited until he could eat it and say he was a customer. Because the customer was always right.
I wonder what was going through the manager's mind that whole time. Like, she must have been fuming.
Oh, man.
You know, it takes a few minutes to make a cheeseburger.
You would know, babe. What was going through her mind?
I don't know.
Two guys that I was in a ska band with worked at a McDonald's. And, one of them was at the cash register helping, like taking like an order or something, and the other one was mopping the lobby. And he said, my buddy working the cash register said he looked through the lobby and the mop bucket fell over and water went everywhere. And the guy just looked at it for like maybe 10 seconds without saying anything, dropped the mop and left and never came back. He was like, you
oh
know
God.
What?
He's like, yeah, I'm not doing
like,
that.
Like, fuck this. This is the last straw.
Wow.
I think only time I quit like that, I worked at a Hollister. And I had a septum ring. And they kept telling me I'd have to take out my septum ring because they didn't allow extreme body piercings. And I was like, well, Kimberly over there has her nostril pierced. Is this sexism? Are we gonna have to bring this up to management? You know, like, he finally left me alone about that. Made me fold shirts the entire time I was there. So I was just in the t-shirt folder. I'll get on that pile of t-shirts.
Fold up them t-shirts, Justin. Septum, you mean like through here?
Yeah, like a bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a little ring through there. So, and I don't know if you knew this or not, but have you ever looked at women looking at t-shirts?
Oh, we lift them and we unfold
men,
them.
Men fold, like, will sit there and delicately fold the shirts and put them back where they found them.
And women just throw them down.
And women will just, like, start grabbing at them like they're, like, like a dog digging a hole. They're just like... And then just throw
they,
the
like,
t-shirts.
Throw the whole pile.
Just throw the t-shirts back in a pile.
Oh
so
my God. You're like, that was like 20 minutes.
I overslept one year on my birthday. I was very intoxicated. Don't remember what birthday it was. Woke up intoxicated. And my manager called me, and my supervisor called me. She was like, you know, it was just like Office Space. You know, you're supposed to work today, right? And I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to make it in today. And she was like, well, you need to call somebody to come in for you. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that either. She was like, no, you have to. And I was like, I'm going to have to ask you to go ahead and do that for me. And she was like, well, I she was in shock, like didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to come back again. So, and she was gorgeous. So as soon as she was like, well, all right, I guess so you're quitting? And I was like, yeah, I think that means we can date now. Do you want to go? And she was like, click.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Smooth moves, I don't think Justin.
I don't think I'm ever going to come back again.
That is so funny. I love it. I'd be so shocked too. I'd be like, what?
Has Supervisor Christine ever quit or gotten fired from a job?
I've quit jobs.
I mean, quit, like, walked out of a job.
Well, I didn't show up. Well, two places I basically... One place I didn't go... I think I talked about this on the podcast.
Oh, did you?
When I melted my name tag and I didn't want to go back.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh, that was so good.
Yeah.
And then, I didn't do the nice thing over. And then, like, I was working in a mental health facility for a while. And I didn't want to go back. I was just depressing working there.
Which explains me a lot.
Yeah. No, it was like a child. It was horrible. I don't want to get into it. It's so deep. But it was a child and adolescent unit.
Oh.
And what happened was a lot of times, a lot of people were there because they were on suicide watch or they had eating disorders. But the majority of the people were there were placed temporarily because they were young kids. And something horrible happened to their parent. Like, the parent was arrested or something tragic happened and they had no immediate family to take care of them. So as an aide, I would have to watch these 6 and 7 year olds and explain to them why they where their parents were, and because the police would drop them off.
I imagine that has an extremely high turnover.
Horrible,
rate.
You know. And I was fresh out of college, and I was like, I can't do this for the rest of my life. It was too sad.
Yeah.
All the power of people who can do that for a living, because obviously somebody needs to.
Yeah.
It was too sad. I just remember one night I was talking to this little kid. He was like 6 or 7, and he was crying and. He was sitting in the bed and there was a train going by outside and he could hear the train. He was asking me where the train was and if his parents were on the train.
Oh my God.
I was like, yeah, I'm not coming back.
I was a security officer horrible. For many years and multiple years in hospitals. And the worst, the worst was there was a kid like flipping out and the kid was, I don't know, like... 11 or 12, and we had to, like, hold him down.
Oh, I had to do that, too.
And it was fucking traumatizing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a little girl. She was probably about 7. She was on suicide watch. And they took all her, like, any string. They took her belt away, her shoelaces and everything. And she was violent, and she was acting out. So you bring them in this room. It was, like, all made of padding, just like in the movies. And you'd do a hold on them where you would have their arms across and you'd be, how would I do it? They would sit in my lap and I would have my legs over theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you would slowly go, as they regain control, you'd be like, all right, we're going to let go of your right arm. And once you've got your right arm and you don't hurt yourself or hurt me for a period of time, we've gained enough trust that I'll let go of your left arm. I was in that room for like 4 hours. We never got all 4 limbs released.
Jesus.
And it was ridiculous. And they were understaffed. And I should never have been in there with that girl long.
That's just traumatic in itself.
Yeah, and it was horrible for me. And she was crying.
Probably her and you. That might not have been a helpful.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. For
even
the kid.
Policy. Yeah.
And I was like, I wasn't trained on that. I mean, I had graduated with a bachelor's degree, but I wasn't a therapist or a counselor or anything.
Yeah.
And I complained to my supervisor at the time. I was like, that just seemed excessive. I'm like, been here for like 3 weeks. I don't know what I'm doing in here.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we're understaffed. We're sorry. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, that was like on the tails of that other thing. And I quit.
The answer to that. What, I mean, chemical restraint? You know what I mean?
Well, you would need to tag out with different aids.
Well, I know, but like, what about like sedating them?
She was like 7.
Well, I know, but
this was also
kids like
30 years ago.
And
I'm sure they'd
be consciously sedated, and have a cast put on.
Yeah,
I mean, if the kid is gonna hurt you or themselves, then at some point you have to do something to figure out what's going on.
They probably would have sedated her this day and age.
Yeah.
But this was like I said, like 20, almost 25 years ago. I don't, like, medications for children were not as, I guess not many were as approved as they are now. So maybe they didn't know what they could give to a child.
You know what that kid needed? A nighttime manta ray snorkel.
Yeah. Exactly.
Terrify them.
That is insane.
Well, and for me, like, I worked at a hospital, and we had a call coming in. It was a baby.
Nah, I don't know if I want to hear about this.
Well, no, but it was like it had fallen. It was co-sleeping with the parents and falling between the wall.
I don't know if I want to. And no, I don't want
to
hear.
I had to be in there when they were working on it, and it didn't make it.
Dang it, babe! Yeah. We don't want to hear it.
Can you?
It's horrible.
It is, but and
dark churn in the podcast.
So people that work in these fields, they have to create this sense of humor. This like, you know, you can't laugh at that stuff, but they just in order to cope. I know I've had to do it in my job because we get in the casino. It's mostly elderly people. It's a lot of elderly people, and a lot of people that I build these huge relationships with, they take a dirt nap. Like, they kick the bucket.
That's so sad.
And so you just have to develop this thick skin that a lot of people don't have in their jobs. And I imagine people that work in hospitals or that work with trauma like that, they have to develop just this thick skin.
Well, and the reason that I started to tell that story before you guys freaked out on me was that as this trauma is happening and they're working on the kid and the parents are in there freaking out. I mean, I didn't realize it, but I had backed all the way up across the ER and I was clear in the very back of the ER, and all of a sudden I had just walked backwards slowly watching this, and all of a sudden the charge nurse is in front of me and she's like, "Do you have kids?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And she goes, "Why don't you take off?"
Yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff. It's this, not the thick skin, but the knowledge of, to see what's going on. Like, I had a kid.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was backing away from this horrible thing that was happening. And I was thinking about, I have a kid.
Yeah.
That's the worst. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, and she's like, "Why don't you go do a round?" I'm like, yeah. I'll do that.
Snapped you out of it a little bit.
Well, yeah, and I took off. I was like, fuck.
You have to see the pros of co-sleeping. I've heard of too many cons. Like, the kid won't leave you alone when they're like six.
I co-slept with my kids.
Yeah.
Did you? How long did it go for?
Fuck, forever.
Yeah, we co-slept with all of them.
Like, Jackson.
But does it not interfere with your relationship with your partner?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Significantly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's why I don't understand why people do that. Is there benefits to the child to not be able to form like a ability to sleep on their own, like a sense of
bunch of different,
like what's the
bunch pros? Of different subjects here.
Yeah.
You know, but the co-sleep with the kid's with you, like I'm down with it. Like my whole attitude was, at some point, this kid is not going to think it's cool to sleep in the same bed or room with me anymore, which is true. It happens. But like what we did was we got a little tent, like they have little teeny tents, and my son would be in his tent. He would like go to bed. We'd make sure he had his diaper on, and there had the little rain top. You didn't have that on, and his head would, the little screen would be like, "Night, Daddy. Night, Mama." Like, "Night,
that's
buddy."
Awesome.
You know, and he would
I had one
go
of those
to sleep.
Too. I had a G.I. Joe tent that went over my bed, and I loved it.
Yeah. And then he got his own room and slowly transferred in. But as long as they wanted to sleep with us, like, they did.
Okay.
And I think they say it helps them build, like, you know, trust in relationships in the future. And, yeah, there are a lot of pros to it. But my 4-year-old will still, like, in the middle of the night when he's staying with me, my ex and I are separated. When he's staying at my house, he'll get up in the middle of the night and he'll walk in my room and crawl in bed with me. Well, one night, and I might have told this on one of the podcasts, stop me if I had. I decided to shave my face, like, spur of the moment, like,
decided
to just bick my face. And
well,
my
and
bed.
Justin always has stubble.
Yeah.
I either have a stubble or a full-on beard, and my kids had never seen me without a beard. Never, like, and I look fucking weird without a beard, guys. I look like, I kind of look, yeah,
like a baby face.
Yeah, not attractive. And so
I think
you're being a little hard on yourself, but go ahead.
Yeah,
Go
you,
on.
Just you didn't look just like what you usually look like.
Point out that you said hard on. Because I'm 12.
What?
You're a little hard on.
A little hard on yourself. Anyway, so.
Okay, big hard on. Whatever.
Anyway, I bick my face and buzz my beard and bick my face. And I'm like, it's late. It's 10. It was 10:30 at night. And I, you know, go to bed. I just wash my face and go to bed. And at like 2 or 3 in the morning, I hear footsteps and like, I'm shocked because my son just scares me every time he comes in my room. Giga! And I wake up and roll over, and he's standing in my room and sees this strange guy with no facial hair in his dad's bed. And he goes, gah, gah. Like, both of us are like, oh, God.
We both did the Jewish yeah. pharmacist.
And he's like, Dad? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh. Oh. He just fell asleep.
You freaked me out, Dad.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's like, I had to hear your voice to make sure it was you.
Oh, just hand on his chest like, oh, God.
My dad did that. Like, my dad, I'm old, and my dad's much older at this point. And I think my whole life, like, until I was, like, 40, he always had a mustache. And then once he shaved it, and I was like, oh, my God, it's so weird. Like, they just look so weird without it, you know, because he's always had one.
My dad did the same thing to me.
Yeah, I know.
What?
I'm getting sleepy.
I know.
I think it might be time to call this.
Okay, jeez.
Podcast. I guess Jeff is the podcast controller.
I guess the podcast is over now, and so we're going to play our game.
Part of J and K are tired.
So explanation, that vacation that I was talking about, I got home at 1:30 a.m. today. So, and then got up and went to work.
I did not know all these details. So you are like right off
and
the vacation.
As soon as I got home from work, went and saw my kids, my boys.
Well, and then I texted you in the morning, and you're like, I just woke up. And then you sent me a text like, I have to work on timing. And I was like, it was one of those things like the last podcast was talking about. I'm like, do we need to do it on a different day? Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, you suddenly
and he just meant the time.
Yeah.
So, what we like to do on this podcast, if you remember correctly, is what did we learn tonight? Christine, what did you learn?
I learned be careful of strange people you take chocolate from.
Damn it, that was mine!
Was it really?
Yes!
You don't want what I got.
You don't want what I've got, sister.
Make sure you keep an eye on how they handle their gloves.
That's right. Are those gloves for you or for me?
Both of us.
What did I learn?
Yeah.
Oh man, the thing about it getting cold right before the sun comes up.
Yeah.
Is
super weird.
Yeah, I love it.
It should be the opposite.
It's interesting.
That's what you would think.
And I also learned that the next band that I'm going to be in is Sharks in the Dark.
My gosh, that fire is crackling.
Yeah.
I should read off some of the other band names that I have that are just fucking awful. Anytime I think of a band name, I write it down.
Yeah, lay
it. And as soon as they said that, I wrote this band name down. So,
lay it on us.
Let's see. Lab Rats, but it's two words. Lab Brats. Seaworthy. Whiskey Mistress. Parasites. But it's also two words. You see what I'm... See this? That's a trend.
Para.
It's Paris sights. Like things you would see in Paris. Wet with sweat.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
If
we were going to actually have a band, that was what I was going to go for.
Wet with sweat.
When me, you, and Noah were playing.
And then one time when I first started coming over here and hanging out with Jeff, we're... upstairs, he's walking around like I think with that, like with his shirt off, scratching his belly, and I'm sitting in the kitchen, and I look out the window and there's birds, and I just point at him, and he comes, walks over to me like scratching his belly, and looks out the window, and he goes, "Ooh, the doves," and I wrote it down as one of the band names. So in here it just says, "Ooh, the doves."
Oh my god. I painted such a good picture. I totally envisioned that all happening.
Yeah, and I'm the opposite of the dude from Hawaii. I don't have any chocolate. I don't have anything to give you.
You like, haven't run the triathlon.
And I'm not skinny.
For Iron Man.
But I am scratching my belly.
What'd you learn, Jeff?
I don't know what I learned. I learned that...
You learned how to make a fire. Listen to that
puppy. Oh, no, boy. I know how to make a fire. It's just, I... Like, the podcast started later than normal, so it's like, it's hard to stay focused and whatever. Like, maybe we should not do it so late.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for doing it late for me.
It's better, like, it's just about planning. I don't know, it's like...
Remember you know, I said we should talk about timing?
Yeah.
It wasn't about a comedic timing, it was about the time the podcast happened tonight.
Yeah, but what did I say to you? You got comedic timing in spades, brother.
Ooh, thank you, man.
Well, now appreciate you're funny.
That. Yeah.
See, so, you said, I thought you said we have that, he said you got that, we got that in spades, or
no,
you got that in spades, but I thought he meant doing the podcast at 8:30. At night, that oh yeah, we've got that timing in spades. It's fine.
I'll pencil that in. So remember, we're on Facebook at J2K Podcast. We're on Instagram J2K Podcast. We're on Twitter at J2K Podcast. We are. You can email us at J2K Podcast@gmail.com, and you can hashtag
totes dope AF.
Hashtag sit or stand. Hashtag sit to pee. Hashtag
long live the sit to pee movement.
Hashtag sharks in the dark. Like you can hashtag
not sharks in the dark.
No, that's a different band.
But we had to talk about some kind of bathroom humor. I apologize.
And then we had to sneak it in there.
Yeah. Well, I was afraid there was going to be a floater in the shitter when you went in there, but luckily Christine cleaned the toilet before you came.
And for those of you who have been wondering, when we circle back to the last podcast or first podcast, I changed the sheets.
Oh, yeah. So it's been what, like 3 months?
Well, no. This is probably about the fourth set we've had on since we started the podcast.
We started the podcast in August, I think.
I know.
And we change it every time we have sexual intercourse.
Except for not.
Not even close.
We've changed it 4 times since we started the podcast.
I was listening to Bobby Lee's Tiger Belly.
Did we start it in August? Because that's sad. Yeah. I think it's like 4 or 5 times I've changed it.
Yeah, Tiger Belly, the podcast that I love, Bobby Lee. They were talking about, damn it. It was like, come when it like,
oh, like God, here
hardens
we go.
On you and then it flakes off.
And you pull your hair out.
Turns into like
what a great way to end the podcast.
What is that? Like a
dried up cum on your leg. Pulling your leg hairs out.
I can't think of what those are.
If you've made it this far into this podcast, this is your fucking dessert.
You are so welcome right
hair
now.
Hair removal on spot.
Okay. I don't know about you, but you like podcast.
We like podcast. At J2K.
With cum, dried up cum chunks on your leg.
That's how they wax in France.
Yay.